I want to bring you a word, something that's been on my heart for a while. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to keep them open to Jeremiah chapter 33. And we will refer to it, amen, in the course of my address rather than reading the whole chapter. So if you want to, I know many of us have electronic Bibles now, but hopefully your battery will stay high. Praise God. God says to us, as he said to Jeremiah, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. And God invites us to call on him in prayer, promising restoration, cleansing, and hope. Even in our darkest hour, our most desperate circumstances, we need to remember salvation, amen, belongs to the Lord. And we think of what's happening in the nations of the world, and we think of China, even in the midst of persecution. God is still building his church. And thousands upon thousands and thousands are coming to declare that salvation belongs to the Lord. Amen. And in the midst of our despair, in the midst of our circumstances, we need to remember God is in control. As it was for Jeremiah. Jeremiah was in prison. We read in verse 1 that, moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time while he was still shut up in the court of prison. He was shut up. But you cannot shut God up, amen. And you cannot shut up the word of God. Despite everything that happens, God is in control. And Jeremiah, he was called a weeping prophet because he brought a word, but no one would listen. Can you imagine preaching all your life and no one would listen? Sometimes we feel like that. But nothing was going on. No one was obeying the word that he was bringing. Hope was gone. Judah were going to fall just like Israel several years before them. But in the midst of darkness, God whispers to the prophet, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. You see, prayer, and thank God you are a praying church. It was lovely to join the group this morning before we came into the main service. And the volume of prayer, praise God. You are a praying church. Breakthrough happens when we as a church pray. Amen. A prayer is not a trick to get what we want. It is an answer to a call of God. God says, call on me. And in the midst of this rebellion and brokenness, God promises healing. And here is the good news of the gospel. No matter how bleak our circumstances may seem, no matter what has happened to us in life, with all its hurt and brokenness that life can bring, we have confidence this morning that our God has the ability to restore, to bring peace and joy into every situation in our lives. So at the beginning of my message this morning, let us remember ultimately salvation belongs to the Lord. You see, salvation begins with God. It continues with God. and it is kept by God. And that is why you and I can breathe. That is why you and I can rest. That is why you and I can have joy even in desperate situations, because salvation belongs to Him. God says, call. Do you need a call on Him this morning? Just as I look around, maybe you have a need. And just as the Spirit of God would quicken us, maybe your need is healing. Maybe it is brokenness in relationship. Maybe it is reconciliation that you need. Whatever your need is this morning, ask Him. Ask Him. Even as we sit right now, just close your eyes for a moment. You don't need to wait to the end of the sermon. Just where you are. You want to lift your hand and surrender Him and say, Lord, I need, just touch me right now in the name of Jesus. Just lift that hand and say, yes, Lord, I need healing. Lord, I need provision. Lord, I need employment. Whatever that need is right now, ask Him to rebuild your life, amen, to bring hope, to bring joy in the midst of your mess right now in the name of Jesus. Or whatever you're facing, ask Him to rebuild that which you cannot rebuild yourself. Let Him be the point of your story, amen. The story, His story that points to His mercy. And so, Lord, I pray grace will flow, amen. Whatever you need, in Jesus' name, amen. We call on Him because we trust His word. Trust means that we accept His promises. We believe that He is able to perform everything, amen, according to His promise. And we too need to remember that when God promises something, He will perform it. I want you to note verse 14 and 16 of this wonderful chapter. It's an amazing chapter. Because God says to the people, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord. I'm going to read it quick, but you, in your own quiet time, you read Jeremiah 33 and let the word of God penetrate into your soul, amen. God says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days. Amen. I love that. In those days. God says, at that time, I will cause to grow up in David a branch of righteousness, and he will execute judgment and righteousness, listen, on the earth. We know we're living in that promise, amen, because the branch of righteousness in Jesus Christ has come, amen. And we're waiting for Him to come and execute justice and righteousness on the earth. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell safely. And this is the name by which she will be called, the Lord our righteousness. The city is called the Lord our righteousness in that day. Church, there's a day coming, amen. And we need to remind ourselves. Thank God, God wants us to live in the present. And He wants us to love Him and serve Him, amen. But listen, we have a hope, praise God, that the King is coming. And the King will set up His kingdom, praise God. And thank God, in that day, there will be no more pain, no more suffering, amen, because His kingdom of righteousness and justice will be established. I don't know about you, but when we see things and things that happen in our world, the brokenness, what man can do to man, and the suffering and the pain, we cry out, but you know, God is crying out too. God is suffering. We can easily forget when we are, the BBC news comes on, all we can do is flick the channel and we've forgotten about it. But God does not forget. God does not forget in that day. And we need to have a clear perspective of God's destiny for our lives. And Paul reminds us in Romans, he says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, it's not worthy, not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." Praise God. That's amazing. You see, he goes on to talk about the groaning that is going on. First of all, there is the groaning of creation. Creation is groaning. You know, creation needs to be redeemed. Creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of men. That's you and I, praise God. So we find that creation is groaning. We find that we ourselves are groaning. And Paul says that we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. So we groan. Not only is creation groaning in pain and suffering, but we groan, despite the fact that we are born again, despite the fact that we are filled with the Spirit, yet there's a groaning inside of us. And you know, the Holy Spirit is groaning, because the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Amen. What amazing hope we have. Well, let's get back to Nehemiah, because the prophet speaks about the coming restoration of Judah and Israel from exile. However, I believe that chapter 33 promises us the ultimate salvation that we have in Jesus Christ the Messiah, who will come back, amen, and reign on earth. You see, this body, it's getting old. You know, I can't run as fast, John. I thank God. I still have my own teeth, amen, but I do need glasses now. We get old. We're getting frailer. However, this body is going to put on a new body. But this new body has to live in a new world. I've got news. A lot of people think that when they die, they're going to heaven and they're going to live there forever. I have news for you. You're not. You're not. Heaven comes to you on earth. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Get your theology, get your eschatology right. So often we think we're going to heaven, we're going to stay up there and play a harp all day and sing songs all day and live. I'll be honest with you, if that's our concept of heaven, that's going to be boring. It's not. We're going to live on a new earth, amen, a new heaven and a new earth. Heaven comes to earth, praise God. Will there be a golf course on the new earth? Of course there will be. Of course there will be. Will I have to work on the new earth? Of course you will, but you doctors and nurses, I'm afraid you're going to be made redundant. But God has a new job for you, amen. A new job for you, praise God. That's our hope, amen. Let's turn a little bit to Revelation, because remember, Jeremiah, God said to the, I'm going to show you great and mighty things. Call on me. And we come to another person, John on the Isle of Patmos. Remember, John is the last of the apostles to be left. And here he is alone, isolated. Think of the desperation. Think about how he felt. All his servants had gone. All his friends had gone. He's left on the island. And God speaks to him. And after these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here and I will show you. Amen. Here's God. You see, God is a personal God. He wants to show us things. He wants to reveal things to us. He wants intimacy. He wants relationship. And I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one that sat on the throne. And then in Revelation chapter 7, we read, and after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, amen. Praise God, we have a little bit of touch of China here today, but of all nations, amen, even the Irish are included. Of all nations, peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, amen, with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice. We're crying, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Amen. That's here. John is saying great things. He's in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And again, when we come to the end of Revelation, God reveals to him, he said, and I saw a new heaven and what? New earth. Underlined it. New earth. Praise God. You know, some people think, the Jehovah Witnesses, that's all they talk about. But, you know, it's when you look at their theology, it's totally wrong, because there's only an exclusion there of maybe 144,000. This new earth is for you and I. Amen. If you're born again of the Spirit of God, praise God, you're a member of the family. And John said, there's coming a day when a new earth will come. For the first heaven and the first earth has passed away. There will be no more sea. Then I, John, saw a holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adored for her husband. And I heard with a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, amen, and he will dwell with them, and he shall be his people, God himself. Listen, church, this is our hope. This is our hope, amen. This is our hope. Death is not the end for us, amen. It's the beginning, praise God. Thank God our future is bright. It's not orange, but it's bright. Hallelujah. And some of you would have got that because of the old advert. And here, God said, I'm going to wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. That's our hope. Come on, church. He that has his hope in him purifies himself as he is pure. You see, the first two chapters in the Bible, it starts with brokenness and death and destruction. But the last two chapters end with salvation and healing and deliverance, because salvation belongs to the Lord. I don't particularly do much reading. I don't like reading novels. They're too long for me. But if I do get into one and I get a little bit bored, you know what I do? I go to the end. I find out the conclusion. You know what we Christians need to do? Go to the end of the book. Yeah. Revelation 21 spells out what is going to happen. Amen. Hallelujah, our future is bright, praise God. Our future is bright. Now, I know we've been watching, or some of us have anyhow, have been watching a bit of football over past weeks. Some nights, if I were out, I would have it recorded. And I would, if it were recorded, I would make sure that the television, radio, everything was off if I came into the house, because what you don't want to do is to know the result. You don't want that. You want to know, because the tense, your frustration, you get anxious. You just want to watch it as if it were live. Friends, the result is in for us. We are on the winning side.
Hallelujah. We have won. Amen. This is the victory that overcometh our faith. Our faith. We've won. Amen. You can go to the end. We know the end. When a curse came upon the world, it brought sickness, it brought disease, it brought death. And even though we rebelled against God, God did not give up on us. The whole passage here in Jeremiah 33 highlights our salvation. The promise of a Savior, one who would come and free us from the curse of sin and death. And Jeremiah, he describes what renewal signs look like on an ordinary day. One of joy. And he says in Jeremiah 33, verse 10. Let me just read that for you. I don't know if it's up on screen. Yes. And thus says the Lord, again there shall be heard in this place. Now remember, here were a people facing captivity because of the Babylonians. Here were a people who were living really captive within the city. At nighttime, they would sneak out and build more barriers upon the gates. There was no sound in the city. People didn't go out. They were under siege. And God says, again, there will be heard in this place of which you say it is desolate without man and without beast in the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem, that are desolate without man and without inhabitants and without beast. The voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, and the voice of those who say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Amen. Hallelujah. What was God saying? Here were a people who were about to be overtaken by the Babylonians, about to be conquered. The streets are empty. But God is saying one day, they will ring again with joy and celebration. The bride and the groom will raise their voice. Isn't that amazing? Even in the midst of despair, God promises hope. I want you to note another thing about this chapter. Right from the start, we see that God is a personal God. God is interested in the affairs of you and I. Even as judgment is at their door, God spoke a word of hope, of faith to the prophet. Call on me and I will answer. And God longs for relationship with his family. That is why we call him our Father. Amen. That's why we pray, our Father who art in heaven. You see, Christianity, friends, come on. Christianity. We live in an age of pluralism that all religions are equal and all religions are going to the same place. No, 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 they're not. They're not. Christianity is completely unique. Not only because of the personhood of Christ and his death and resurrection, they are unique because of the personal nature of what God offers you and I. Amen. All roads do not lead to heaven. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm sorry if that offends you, but it's true, King Charles. Don't know if you're listening to me. You might switch on. See, Christianity differs from all world religions because of this personal aspect of what we believe regarding God. Islam, for example, does not acknowledge man's sin, doesn't acknowledge man's brokenness. A man is ignorant, and what people need is Sharia law. That's what they need, to remove their ignorance and to give them an understanding of God and God's law. But man is not just ignorant, man is broken. He doesn't need a law, he needs a Savior. The branch of righteousness.
one who can save him. And whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall what? Shall be saved. Look at the many promises that God makes to his people. You can read it when you go home. Verse 6. He said, I will bring health and healing. I will heal them and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. Amen. And in verse 7, he said, and I will cause, amen. I love it. I will cause the captivities of Judah and the captives of Israel to return them. Oh, amen. Even in the midst of their despair, God promises, look, it's not going to last forever. I'm God. I'm sovereign. Amen. And God says in verse 8, and I will cleanse them from all their iniquity by which they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities. Amen. See, these promises refer to a time of Nehemiah and Ezra, but they are only fulfilled totally in the new covenant. These promises ultimately are fulfilled in the covenant, the new covenant, when King Jesus comes back the second time, the branch of righteousness, and he will execute justice and righteousness on the earth. The name given to Jerusalem is given to Jesus, the Lord our righteousness. Amen. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 7, we read, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name, amen, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now remember, come on, remember, 700 years before the birth of Jesus, the prophet was prophesying this. And of the increase of his government, amen, he's coming to reign, of his government and peace, there what? Shall be no end. You'll remember me 1,000 years from now. You'll be saying, will we remember each other? Yes. Will you recognize me? Yes. Do you know, when I die, I'm not coming back as some bird or some rat as in reincarnation. Do you know, the whole concept there is, if you're done bad and you don't do good, you're going to come back as something inferior. That's the concept, you know. I believe in resurrection. You know why I believe in resurrection? Because historically, it's a fact. I believe in resurrection because of what he's done in my life. But ultimately, I believe in resurrection because I've examined the evidence. Amen. Jesus died and Jesus rose again. Praise God. You know, friend, it takes more faith to not to believe than it does to believe. Thank God for our hope. So in the midst of our brokenness, we have hope. The fact the Bible describes our hope as a living hope through the death and resurrection of Christ. And thank God, when we die, yes, we go to heaven, but we don't stay there forever. We return to earth with new bodies on a new heaven and a new earth. Heaven that we go to when we die, the present heaven, it's just a temporary dwelling place. It's a step along the way for our final destination. And I like to go to our final destination. There's a lot of things we don't understand in eschatology. The millennium, the 1,000-year reign and all that, pre-A, I don't know. There's a lot we can't get right. But this I do know, come on, the final destiny. The final destination is the new heaven and the new earth. Amen. Praise God. There will come a day when God will establish his kingdom on earth. And we will reign with him here on the earth. We will experience resurrection.
What will heaven look like? Well, don't look up and think you're going to float around there in the clouds. You play a harp. Bad job if you can't play a harp, but you play a harp all day. No, I suggest look around. Look around and imagine the earth without the curse. I just came over this morning quite early on the Snake Pass on the A57, and I looked at the beauty of God's creation. And I thought, just imagine the earth with no sin, the earth with no earthquakes, the earth with no disaster, the earth with without the curse. That's what heaven looks like. This is our hope. See, resurrection means a continuity of my life with a new body without pain and suffering. Will you know me? Yes, there's a continuity of my life. This is what I love about our Christian message. I'm not coming back as someone else. I'm coming back as me. Whether you like me or don't like me, it doesn't really matter. I'm me, amen. I last forever, amen. Hallelujah. And you know, this earth, as we read a little bit there in Romans chapter 8, read it for yourself and read. This earth is groaning. But there's this earth, you know, is looking forward to the day of redemption. Don't forget, sin not only had its effect upon us as individuals, as persons, but it had an effect upon the earth. And in his death, thank God for the far-reaching effects, not only to us as people, but to the earth. Praise God. The old gospel song, I'm almost finished. The old gospel song went, "This world is not my home." I'm not going to sing it for you. "I'm just passing through." I'm sure we've sang it. But it's only a half-truth. Because we may pass from earth through death, but eventually, we come back to live on a restored earth. And there's my hope. Salvation, including new bodies, new earth. I'm going to ask you as I close this morning, what does your destiny look like? What does your destiny, what does it look like? Do you know where you're going? Well, I don't know. Pastor Billy, I don't know. I don't really know. I'm hoping so. Well, that's not the answer you need to know. You need to know for sure that if you die right now, you have the assurance that you're going to know God's destiny for your life. You see, John mentioned about our church in Reading getting involved with different missions. And one of our first missions was going out to Romania when the borders all collapsed and it was open borders, and therefore you could take food and Bibles. And as a church, we had probably 7 different trips out there. One time we took 7 lorries, and they were all 7 tonners, but when we got to Dover, we discovered there were more than 7 ton on our lorries. But we got away with it. We just put a red cross on all of them. I don't know if the insurance company would have, if anything went wrong. However, we had tremendous times just taking Bibles and food and medicine. The churches around Reading supported us well. We had medical gear worth thousands, upon tens of thousands of pounds given to us. We had tons of Bibles that we picked up in Vienna to add more to our tonnage. But we had great times. But you know, I didn't just turn up at Dover and think, that's a nice road I'll take. I'll just take that. No, 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 no. For me to reach my final destination in Romania, I had to study the maps. I had to know exactly where I was going. I had to read for evenings, just, yeah, we'll take that road, mark it all down on a piece of paper. We go through France, through Belgium, through Germany, through Austria, through Hungary. We had to have different currency when we were traveling in those days. And then eventually we reached Romania. It all had to be studied. Why on earth do I take a chance when it comes to death and I don't know where I'm going? Doesn't make sense. Be secure in your salvation and know that Jesus is your King and Jesus is your Savior. Amen. He's the one, the branch of righteousness. Don't leave it to chance, hoping that one day you're hoping that you've done enough things to please God. You'll never please God by doing good things. Good things come after faith, not before faith. That's our hope. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. Maybe I'm speaking to one today, and you don't have that hope. You don't really know for sure that you're going to heaven. You don't really know that you're forgiven and in a right place with God. Maybe I'm speaking to one who's watching on YouTube or watching live this morning. And just as the Spirit of God may be tugging your heart this morning, as every eye is closed, every head is bowed, I'm going to make a prayer this morning. And if you'd like me to include you in that prayer, will you know for sure you're going to heaven? Just you raise your hand right now, and I will just include you. Amen. God bless you. And God bless you. You're going to pray that prayer of salvation for the first time. Just put your hand down. That's okay. God bless you. You're watching on screen. You can pray this prayer. Maybe you haven't put your hand up, but you want to pray the prayer. It's a prayer of faith. Dear Father, I come to you this day in the name of Jesus Christ. And I acknowledge my sin before you. I acknowledge my brokenness. And this day, I acknowledge you as my God and my Savior. I ask that you come into my life and take control by your Spirit. And I pray this day, as I come to a place of faith and repentance, this day I receive your gift of eternal life. So hear my cry as I call on your name and I stand on your promise. Call on me and I will answer you. And so, Lord, in the name of Jesus, those who have indicated a need to know that assurance and that peace, to know you as Savior, bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.